to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Oh, the weather is warming up here in Denver, Colorado. Oh, it's going to be a warm one and a warm week. And I pray that as the 4th of July gets closer and closer, that you are going to honor and be reverent of what our forefathers and all of those who've given their lives for us. Honor them. And, you know, it's wonderful to have the barbecues and everything like that. And I've done that for years and years and watched fireworks. But remember those who went before us. It's so important. God is your shield of victory. He's Jehovah Nisi in your life. If you need a shield around you today, and I know that some of you do, you feel so vulnerable and you need somebody to protect you. Well, he is there. He's your Jehovah Nisi. He's your shield of victory, and his right hand sustains you. It truly does. I'm so grateful to God. When I go out of the house every day, I ask the Lord to be my shield, because you never know about the traffic out there, but you know his angels are around your vehicle. His angels are around you as you go about your errands. So I'm thankful and I'm grateful. And when you do have a need and you present it to me through an email or through a call, I know as I pray for you, God is going to shield you. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. Well, the Senate passed the big, beautiful bill. I was wondering about that, because it's going to be the greatest tax cuts for every level of the economical strata here in America. And so I'm so grateful. And it was broken. It was a tie, and Vice President Vance came in and broke the tie. So now on to the, I believe it's the House subcommittee. It's a smaller committee, but I believe President Trump's going to get his big, beautiful bill. Wow. That's God at work, as well as people being able to tell other people this is the greatest bill ever passed. And you know, the Republicans in the Congress allowed so many billions to go through Biden. And so why shouldn't we have tax cuts and the wall being built and completed? Hallelujah. And the deportations taking place of the illegals who are criminals. I'm just so in agreement with all this. So praise God. It's done. It's almost done here, and we'll see it by next week. That a lot of people, a lot, millions are going to get tax cuts. And I know that it might be really a squeeze for you to get to the end of the month and pay those bills. But God is also your Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. And he has never failed me. I've never been late on a house payment or had a late bill payment. And so I am so grateful. And even when I was saying, oh, Lord, you've got to help me this month, he's been there. He's always been there. Our memory verse for this week is Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And in the Message translation, Romans 14, 15 through 17 says, if you confuse others by making a big issue over what you eat or don't eat, you're no longer companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over an item in their diet? And we've done that. I have done that in the church. It's so legalistic. And I am so praising God that I have been released from that legalistic, that tradition of man's spirit. Praise God. Oh, don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion of soul poisoning. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Work with him. It's all about serving the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I've been talking about a subject that I usually, it's been something that I haven't spoken on. Darren talked about it much more because our calls were from people with needs. And I was talking yesterday about Walter, who was one of the callers from the Friday show, June the 27th. And if you want to go back and listen to it, it's just very revealing. So we're talking to Walter, who had been with a woman, had sex with a woman, and then she left him for another man. And he still wants her back. I told him during that conversation that if he trusted in the Lord, God would bring the perfect woman for him into his life. See, people don't trust God for that. And God did it for me. One day I remember standing in front of the kitchen sink, looking out of the window, and God said, Barbara, I want to give you the desire of your heart. And when I said, Father God, I would love to have a mighty man of God, and boom, in no time at all, there was Darren Carmack. Wow. It's just amazing how God does things so quickly when you ask him and you trust in him in the asking. Well, getting back to Walter, if this woman has been with a dozen guys, they traded substance. Of course they did when they have sex. She's joined herself to different men and she's not congruent. And yesterday I told you the definition of congruent was compatible, in agreement, you're consistent, and you're fitting well together. It, like a well-oiled leather glove, Darren used to say. Radio fit him like a leather glove. And so her soul is in pieces. She's not congruent. She's had all these sexual partners. And her mind is just scattered in every direction. She can't think straight. And so when Darren questioned Walter, he admitted that he'd probably been with a dozen women. And now Walter was number 13 who had sex with this woman that he wanted back. Oh, my goodness, friends. People wonder why there's confusion and depression, and they don't realize that all these relationships have caused defilement. And I've thought so many times, as you know, we hear about crime, or we hear that somebody has robbed somebody, and we hear the last name of the perpetrator, and then we hear his parents' last name or his mother's last name, totally different from the guy who robbed or the guy who committed the crime. And I'm wondering how many children are raised in households where their mother goes from one person to another person and has sex, and now they've got half brothers and sisters. Oh, this should not be, folks. This should not be at all. No, God does not care for this. I mean, it's ungodly. And so here we see Walter and this woman having sex, and we're talking here about guy number one who gives her his substance, to, and then guy number two, and 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And in our culture, this having multiple sex partners has become the norm. Inappropriate behavior has become the norm. And in this case, a dozen sexual acts is a low number with this caller. So they have a composite identity. It's a scattered identity. They don't know who they are. And so then depression and anxiety and fear and thinking of suicide may set in. They are at their wits' end and they think it's hopeless. They can no longer think straight. So they go to a therapist or they take medication. Oh, folks, the enemy just loves this. And this is sin. And it will end in disaster if we don't get something done in our spirit and soul. And that is cleansing it in Jesus' name. Fornication is the only sin that truly scars the body. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. Or maybe at least, 12 through 20. You say, I am allowed to do anything I want. Boy, you hear that a lot. But not everything is good for you. And even though you say, I'm allowed to do anything, you must not become a slave to anything. You say, food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. And in the meantime, don't make eating your central motive for living your day. It's so important that you don't wait, what shall I eat? At lunchtime, what shall I eat? At supper time, what shall I eat? And so the day goes, and then you snack before you go to bed. And then you wonder why you have stomach aches and you can't sleep. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you can't say, and this is from 1 Corinthians 6, you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. This is from the Living Translation. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are truly parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never! And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united into one. Well, that's just a prostitute. That doesn't make a difference, friend. It really doesn't. When you have sex with another person, you have become one with them. And then you go to another person. No wonder you're mixed up and confused. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 6 says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If Jesus and you are one, what happens when you have ungodly sex? Is Jesus affected by that ungodly experience? Run from sexual sin, verse 18 says. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. That's fornication. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. As I said before, fornication is the only sin. That's sex before marriage. Oh, and don't get me started on, well, two-thirds of the people just shack up. They don't even get married anymore, and you're probably right. But that doesn't make it right. Remember, that's become the norm, and it's the only sin that defiles the body. Now, scars left from those wounds, and every time you have sex with someone, that's a punch in the gut. It really is. It's a wound. I know you're saying, oh, it's pleasure. No. And there are scars that build up. It's like, for instance, if you get a gash on your leg, and if you don't attend to it quickly or on your arm, it will get infected, and then it will build up tissue around it to protect it. So you have a deformity there. And sometimes it's ugly. And if you don't do something about those sexual encounters you've had, you will reap serious damage to your soul. So scars are left from those wounds. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. Well, my body doesn't look real good. Well, I don't care how your body looks, my friend. It is sanctified unto Jesus, unto God. He's the temple. And you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And you don't say anymore, when you belong to Jesus, I can do anything I want to do. Not anymore. You were bought with a price. And honor God with your body. I remember when Darren taught in our classes on Tuesday night, excuse me, and he taught a lot on Old Testament idolatry. And there was one scripture particularly that just popped out at me today as I was reading, and that's from Ezekiel 14. Now remember, Ezekiel is a captive. He's in Babylon, and God is giving him this vision of Israel and of all that's coming together, but also of the sins that men have committed. So in the 14th chapter, he's actually talking about the leadership. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Now those idols can be lust, pride, rebellion, stubbornness, and those lusts, those prideful things get us in the situations, the sinful situations we find ourselves in, especially like fornication and adultery, and have put right before their faces the stumbling blocks of their iniquity. That means they have actually focused so much on the lust that they have, or the pride of trying to get what they want, that it is in front of them all day long. And they can't even get rid of it at night when they put their heads on their pillow. They're just thinking about it all the time. God says, should I be consulted by them? Should I listen to them at all? Therefore, speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man who sets up his idols in his heart puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity. And then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols. That means I don't have to answer him. According to his idols and his lifestyle, I'm going to back off. I don't have to answer him. Now, I know this is Old Testament, and I know that God has done different things through this age of grace that we have and the spirit of grace that is moving over all the earth. Praise God. He does things a little differently, but when it comes to sin, he will turn away. If even for a brief moment, because God can't stand sin. He loves you, but he can't stand what sin is doing to you. And some of you are in grievous situations and you're saying, why doesn't God answer me? Why doesn't God do something for my situation? Maybe you are in sin. Look at your life. I ask you to get away from denial, to get away from ignoring something that might be very blatant right there in front of your face. And it's become an idol. It's become a constant thing for you. Lust is that constant thing. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. And if you just stop for a moment and say, oh, Jesus, I recognize that I have been putting lust, I've been putting pride in my life before you. I am so sorry, Father God, for this insubordination. That's what it is, insubordination. You're rebelling against God. And I'm speaking mostly here to people who've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but you've never made him Lord of your life, and you've allowed all these things to enter into your life, and you think you still can live this godly life with all this junk going on in your life. You can't. So, well, what do you think? Okay, what do you think the Sean Diddy Combs trial is all about? I know, I'm bringing that up. And if you've listened to the news at all, you know about Sean Diddy Combs, a rapper, a very wealthy rapper, several homes, and he was into the drug scene. Not a good man at all. Not a good man. I'm saying that. You don't think the girls knew what they were getting into? Oh, just continually surrounded by girls, by women, who flaunted their bodies. Do you not think that they knew what they were getting into? How many sexual deviant acts went on and such degradation? It's abomination to God. And yet, he may not be found guilty because these girls are still around him. They love taking the trips on his jets. They love having all the wardrobes. They love the entertainment. So many men and women believe that if they experiment in sexual activities, they will find the one they're going to marry or live with. Especially these women, in the case of Sean Diddy Combs, maybe not marry. He probably didn't marry any of them. Especially women looking for a rich guy and an easy life, security. And that's the number one issue with us women. We want a relationship with security. Wow. It's not worth it. It really is not worth it. When I married Darren, he was $1.5 million in debt. I mean, that was not security for me. Oh, and I praise God today that I saw God moving and working and getting rid of that debt, because Darren was pure in his thought life and pure in his spiritual life. And I'm so grateful that I saw a miracle take place. So some women want security. No, thank you. It's just worth it watching God at work. What I said to the Lord is just, thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting me involved in all this. Walter needs to send back all the substance that he's given to all these sexual partners in Jesus' name. Fornication has become the norm for Walter and thousands of people who look for an easy night of pleasure. What does it do to the soul? Your flesh says, well, I'm free to do what I want. But if what you do is inappropriate, it's not godly at all. C.S. Lewis said in a very important thing when he wrote, if a thing is free to be good, and this is C.S. Lewis, a very deep spiritual man. If a thing is free to be good, it is also free to be bad. Okay, God's given us a will. And free will is what made evil possible. Ooh, it is. Eve had free will to say no or yes, and she said yes to the fruit. Why then did God give them free will? Here it is. Oh, thank you, C.S. Lewis. Because free will, though it makes evil possible, is the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or joy worth having. That's right. When you turn away from that sin, when you turn to God, when you say, oh, Father God, I surrender it all to you, that goodness and that love and that joy just pours forth into your life. You will never believe if you don't do it today. You will not ever experience what a wonderful and fulfilling life, that joy and peace of waking up every day and knowing it's a new day in God is all about. So I pray that you will look with God-like eyes and say, oh, that's me. I've done this. Kimberly was supposed to come on the air tomorrow, and she is going to a funeral. So I'm going to be able to talk to you about getting back your substance and giving back substance to the one you had a sexual experience with. So I want you to know that we're going to have another day of this, and I believe it's important enough to talk about this. First of all, when you surrender your life to Jesus, he washes you clean, cleanses you from unrighteousness, and fills you with joy and peace. Here's I Surrender All.
Oh, to Jesus, I surrender. Oh, to thee am I freely given. Trust him in his presence daily. Live. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all.
Oh, we've sung that song so many years. I surrender all. And I know I hadn't surrendered all. I hadn't. And I was miserable at times. I really was. Back and forth, being tossed to and fro. In Philippians 3, it says, there are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you, and this is Paul speaking, I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. They hate Christ's cross, but easy street is a dead end. Easy street is a dead end. Those who live there make their bellies their God. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites and where they're going to get their next meal. But there's far more to life for us, praise God. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him together. Oh, congruent, that word congruent, in a total agreement. I want to be in total agreement with Jesus, don't you? Oh, it's been so good being with you. Kimberly is, as I said before, is not going to be with us tomorrow. She will be here on Thursday, and pray for her. It's a funeral of a dear friend. So pray for her and let the Lord know that she is prayed for. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in